Draft Day 2 edition of the Bottom Line Bombs on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick 'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code BOMBS to get 100% deposit match for your show. And all right, that clean cut and simple way to start off ad read. Now we'll do a theme song and we'll get going live from Canada. Yes, welcome to the Bottom Line Bombs. I am your host, CJ Sullivan, the laddie daddy, the bat detective, the man in the box. Wow, that's right. Delivering bombs from north of the border here on Friday Live. Live Friday, April 26th, 2 o'clock Winnipeg time, noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. It is draft day 2, NFL draft day. I apologize right up top to my C-generates. I did not get in a draft day bombs. I promised a draft day bomb show either yesterday or Wednesday. Wednesday, I couldn't do it, Chicago. But then yesterday, I thought I was going to be able to get it in before the draft started. I was traveling to Canada. And, of course, with the man in the box, there's always mishaps. Always. I'm always getting flagged with something. I'll talk to that in a second. But we're making it up because draft day 2, that's when the real draft starts. And there's some good value bombs to be taken there. And I'll detonate a few of them. And I'll also give a few game 3 and 4 NBA NHL playoffs for the weekend that you can take that home with you as you're listening to this new episode live or not live. I mean, you're listening live no matter what time. Even if you're listening to it days from now from when I'm recording it, you're actually hearing it live. So you're always live. You know, you can't be listening in the past or in the future. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's what happens when you go to Canada. You go to Canada, everything gets mixed up. Canada is a bit weird. It's not weird. It's normal. When I see, you know, it's like very similar to America. Then you see a couple things that are just a bit odd, you know? Like the spelling is a little different. The gas station, you're like, then you're like, it's like a movie. Like, you start noticing small things. Like, oh, this is not home at all. This is definitely something is off here, and they're all in it together, you know, these poutine lovers. And I went from cheese curd land to Chicago to poutine as the man in the box continues to be on the road. Like I said, yeah, so I went from Chicago to Winnipeg. Thought I'd be here in plenty of time, but I wasn't. I was held up in customs, always held up in customs. Came in Winnipeg, if you don't know, is in the kind of the middle of nowhere. It's I like these people here. Fine city. The Winnipeg Jets are in town. They love their Jets. There was a huge viewing party outside. They have a whiteout, greatest fans in the world. They had a very similar viewing party for my stand-up show last night at Rumors Club in Winnipeg. For the people that couldn't get in, they piled outside, you know, had a big viewing party. That's not true. It's not what happened. But it was a lot of great shows. Me and TJ Miller here all weekend. Actually, there was some C-generates who came to the show, tweeted out. Didn't get to talk to them, but I tweeted them out. If you do come talk to me. Let the man in the box know. Anyway, let me get the customs. So I get the customs, and I usually Canada's a little tricky, like getting in. They don't like these Americans coming in riff-raffing with their former DUIs and whatnot. Who knows? Public disorderlies. But usually I'm like, I'm going to see a friend, blah, 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 bingo, bango, get through. So I did it. I don't like, you know, I don't, I mean, I know they say If you're there for work, which I am, you should declare that. But then they pay tax. I'm not getting paid much at all. And they get the conversion rate. And then they can take their conversion taxes. It's hell. The Canada dollar, not so strong. Metric systems, who knows? And I'll tell you what. Everyone yells at Americans for not doing a metric system. Also, look, can we all agree that the Fahrenheit system is way better than Celsius? It's not even close. Celsius system's terrible. No one ever knows. 1 degree is like fucking 10 degrees. Like, it's like the difference between 25 and 30 Celsius is huge. And it doesn't give you any parameter what the fucking temperature is. Fahrenheit, there's a reason why it goes up to 120 and by the individual unit. So, you know, and then it like it comes, whatever. Then it comes back where it all equals out. It's just insane. Anyway, point is, all right, so I got the customs. I go, seeing a friend, okay? She wasn't buying this story already. Who are you? How's your friend? Where's your friend live? How do you know your friend? That kind of stuff. I mean, how do you know your friend? That's for only Canadians and, like, normal people that are like, how do you know your friend? How do I know my friend? I don't know. How do you know your friend? What the fuck are you talking about? Life happened, and then we became friends. I don't know. I met him in the fucking alley somewhere. We were fucking smoking a bowl together. What are you talking about? They're all like, oh, well, did you go to school with him? Did you, you know, did you go to grad school or something? No. Didn't you open the same block? You go out in the world, and you just become friends. I don't even know his real name, but I know I meet him every year in Winnipeg. So let me through. So that's what it was. So where in Winnipeg does he live? I don't know fucking areas of Winnipeg. I know the bad area. I know downtown. No, you can't say that. They don't live there. If they live there, they're zombies. They're drugged out homeless zombies. So then I didn't panic, but I moved. Like, well, my friend lives in New York where I'm meeting him here, which is technically true. DJ Miller lives in New York. I live in LA, and we're doing stand-up together. So then they're like, wait, your friend lives in New York and you're meeting him here in Winnipeg? Why? Why would you meet him in Winnipeg? Then they're just shitting on their own city. No, like nobody has a friend in Winnipeg, first of all. Second of all, why would you meet here? Like, well, you know, every year we come here, we like to check out the fentanyl that you have downtown Winnipeg. We're here, you heard you have good fentanyl down there. We like to see the zombies. It's a kind of a festival thing we like to do, you know, zombies and the fet zombs, we call it, you know, every April we come here. When was the last time you were in Winnipeg? I don't fucking know. 2 years ago? Look it up. You have the information right there. So they weren't buying any of it. They brought me down. They brought me into, let's see. They brought me into another room. There's always another room. Then they set you out. They wait you out. And they're dicks because they know they have all the power. They control it all. When's your flight home? They don't have the same information. When's your flight home? When are you getting the fuck out of here? Girl in front of me didn't have a ticket home. They were, that's usually odd, don't you think? Usually people have a ticket home. Well, I don't have enough money. I'm trying to get money. In Winnipeg? You think there's a money-making deal in Winnipeg? Yeah, I'm going to bet on the Jets. I don't fall. All right, get through then. All you got to do is mention the Jets. I'm going to bet on the Winnipeg Jets. All right, now you're talking smart. Get out of here. And here's some poutine on the way out of here. Another place where Canada's like, we do poutine better than anyone. Yeah, no one else does poutine, that's why. Anyway, it's a great time here in Winnipeg. It's a high crime area downtown. I avoided that. Other than that, great place to live. They did some fun. People came out to the shows last night, sold out. They were pretty banged up. And they had their own version of Whiteout, if you will. Anyway. But that is why I couldn't. And by the time I got back to him, I didn't have time to do a draft day one show, C-Generates. That's what I'm trying to say. That's where it all came to. So I'm here now. I'm going to give out some draft day two bombs because it's a draft all weekend. And, of course, some game three and game four bombs. But first, let me tell you about the Bottom Line Bombs, of course. This is a show here you need to subscribe to. I already told you about Underdog Fantasy. All the shows, they had a live draft party last night. SGPN, a lot of fun guests going in there. We'll recap the draft real quick. But first, let me tell you about Underdog Fantasy. Let me put up the thing real quick. I always mess this part up. Underdog Fantasy, where are you? There you are. Bingo, bango. The NBA playoffs are here. Sponsor Underdog Fantasy wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em games is simple, selecting higher or lower on the player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money. Okay. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They also launched Champions, their player-versus-player format, in Florida. So make sure you sign up with code BOMBS, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code BOMBS. Want to do one right now? We can do one right now. Let me see. Let me pull up an Underdog Fantasy thing here. Hold on for a second. I am the man in the box, I believe, on Underdog Fantasy. Let's see if this thing comes up here for me. This is how you do an ad read. You do it step by step. And then let me share the screen here. Let me hide that. We're back to here. Let's see. Here we go. All right. Now we're sharing, I believe. All right. There we are. Now we're sharing the screen. Okay. So I'm going to give you C-Generates right now. Let's make a real fun Underdog one. Damian Lillard. How about this Bucks? Middleton, I don't know if he's playing or not. Bobby Portis, Obi Toppin. Let's start off with Damian Lillard, who's kind of been a little Jekyll and Hyde. He'll have a good half, good end, and not good half. But there's just a lot of points with this. Let's go with Damian Lillard, higher than 31 half points. Let's do that. No problem whatsoever. Pascal Siakam. How about more than one and a half 3-pointers made? That's a spicy little hot pepper. 1.2, we'll put that in there. So that's 3.6. That's enough right there. Dame and Siakam to make 2 3-pointers. Do we want to add anything else? Pat Beverly, get a steal? Him being a jerk? Why not toss a jerk in there? Now it's 5-1. Now we're talking. All right. Let's do that. Let's do it with the Bucks Pacers. So we got Dame Lillard higher than 31.5 points. Pascal Siakam higher than 1.5 3-pointers made. That's a spicy. And a Pat Beverly higher than 1 steal. That makes it 5-1. All right. Let me put that in there right now. I'm going to put that 30 because I have 10-30 in the account. And that'll pay 151. Bingo, bango. There you go. So you go, C-Generous. It's that simple. Go to Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code BOMBS. Help me out. And there it is. I just shared it with you. All right. And we're back. Look at that. That was fun. That was fun. That was an interactive ad read I just did. And I showed you that the Bet Detective puts his own money on the line. I just put $30 on that. That might have been a mistake. Now I think about it in retrospect, what am I doing? All for the company? All for this fucking Underdog Fantasy? What do they give me? Tell you what they give me. It's what you guys can give me. If you use promo code BOMBS when you sign up, it's good. It's a good site. It's fun. It actually is a lot of fun. So anyway, I enjoy it. Done all the other reads for that? And then I get into football contest. I think that's it. Anyway, let's get back into the show. How about that? The NFL draft. We got to talk about the NFL draft, of course. A lot of fun. Let me put my overhead lay back on as well. Well, I got all kinds of things going on. The man in the box overlay. There we go. All right. Now let's talk about the draft that happened last night. Now, the draft was pretty normal up top. Caleb Williams, despite his fingernail polish, went to the Bears. They also got Adunze at number 9. They got a hot offense. Reminds me when I had Cade McNown. DeMarcus Robinson. What could possibly go wrong? I like it. You gotta like the. I love the Bears offense. I like that rumor that Caleb Williams was wearing fingernail polish to in like the pink phone case to stop the Bears from drafting him because they would think he's gay because I wouldn't play in Chicago, which is hilarious. Hold on one. And then let's see. Sorry about that. I'm getting messages all over here from Winnipeg. Winnipeg does the whole thing, you know? The time strengths, you know, who even knows if the time strengths is the right properly. If they even use Prime Meridian. Prime Meridian? No, I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so the draft was normal up until number 8, the Atlanta Falcons. I'm glad I didn't have a show. The only bombs I would have hit first round were over quarterback, 6.5, that hit, or 4.5 it was, 6 quarterbacks hit in the first 12 picks because of what the Falcons did. The Falcons blew up this entire draft. They drafted Michael Penix, number 8 overall. Fucking insane. It was absolute insanity. Michael Penix, fine quarterback, went to Washington. A couple knee surgeries. I think he's 33 years old. But the Falcons just signed Kirk Cousins, so $180 million contract. He had no idea they were drafting Michael Penix. Nobody did. Everyone was shocked. And it's hilarious watching shows today reacting. And any positive reactions from Michael Penix and backing it up, it's just because that's what they do. Support ESPN support shows, you know? They're just like, support shows, debate shows, where they don't care what their opinions is. It just has to be one yes, one no, you know? It doesn't matter. Was Michael Penix a great pick? Yes. No. Okay, switch it around. It doesn't matter. Like, none of these people believe in their opinions. They're told what their opinions are going to be. So you have Dan Orlovsky back supporting it. There's no supporting this. It's an insane fucking pick. Okay, great. The only way it works is if Kirk Cousins gets hurt and blows out his knee or that injury that he already has gets hurt. I mean, that's the only. But why would you give him $180 million? You're hoping that he gets hurt? Yeah, you need 2 quarterbacks, but you don't use a number 8th overall pick. And their logic behind it was hilarious. Let me get to what the Falcons quotes because there's this. And I'll tell you exactly why they did it in a second. Everyone says they're shocked. Kyle Pitts, including. They called up Kirk Cousins. He was obviously the general manager, Terry Fontenot. And they had head coach Raheem Morris. They passed over Bill Belichick for this. And you see why, to be honest with you. Bill Belichick, by the way, last night on the draft. He was great. You know, he's great on TV and it pisses you off. Well, what the fuck, Belichick? Why weren't you like this the last 20 years as a coach? Why were you such an ornery asshole when you could have been fun? So I don't like fun Bill Belichick on TV, by the way. I'm against that. So here's a quote by Raheem Morris. Reactions are pretty private. Talking about what he said to Kirk Cousins. He got called on the clock because of the sensitive time and issues you have going on. There's never a right time to talk about it. He's talking about his breakup. There's never a right time to talk to a quarterback about those things. A quarterback. He's talking like he's a fucking girlfriend. You know how quarterbacks get. They're very emotional. They can react. They can do anything. Reactions are always going to be private. Unless Kirk decides to tell you some of those things. But he's a competitor. He's a competitor. Just like we all are. They told him they're going to get a quarterback later in the draft. They didn't say they're going to use the number 8th overall pick. And this is their decisions why. The Falcons are supposed to win a division this year. Hopefully be good. All they needed was a quarterback, and they did it. They signed Kirk Cousins. So they think they're going to be – this is the last year they're going to be drafting this low. Which, by the way, Michael Penix wasn't even supposed to go this low. They could have stayed wherever they – you know, they could have traded down in the first round and got whatever. Everyone knows the deal with Michael Penix. He goes, but here's this fucking GM's explanation, which is hilarious. It was pretty simple for us. We won't have the ability to be picking this high again with the guys we've got. This is Marine Morris, a coach. I'm sorry. We thought it'd be important for us to address our future quarterback when we're picking this low. We don't want to be picking here anymore. So let's address that right now. What? Yeah, we're going to be so good. We're never going to have a pick like this. First of all, that means nothing in the NFL draft. You can always trade for picks if you need a quarterback of the future. And Michael Penix is not a quarterback of the future. He's already 24 years old with two knee surgeries. He won't even get to sniff the field if Cousins stays healthy. It's like 5 years when his rookie contract's up. And it's not a normal rookie contract because you have to give him top 10 money now. He was the number 6 quarterback rated, 52 on the big board. It's hilarious. GM says, if you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. If he sits there for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. Okay. It's as simple as if you see a guy at the position you believe in, you have to take him. Atlanta didn't receive any significant offers, they said, for the trade. Yeah, okay. Well, you didn't need a significant offer. Just do anything. Trade down to 15, 20. So like I said, so this thing blew up the entire draft. I'm not going to say it was a culture pick down in Atlanta, but I did just watch the Freak Nick documentary on Hulu. Very fun documentary. I've been talking about that for a while. Everyone was excited for that thing to come out. Freak Nick, I did not know. The reason why it was called that was a combination of freaky and picnic. Freak picnic. Didn't know that. Anyway, also known as the Black Spring Break for historically black colleges, and it just turned into a whole Freak Nick, and it got raunchy. Anyway, and that's Atlanta. And Atlanta is the mecca black city of the country. So to get another I mentioned this. Because Black Twitter, which is also another documentary coming out on Hulu, they were pretty funny with this. A lot of reactions comparing Michael Penix to Michael Vick, because he's left-handed, his name is Michael, he's a black quarterback, and he's going to Atlanta. And Black Twitter had some pretty funny memes, like dogs in Atlanta watching the draft, seeing their team drafted another black left-handed quarterback named Michael, and it was this one, like, Greyhound with shocked eyes and like terrified, one dog peeing in the kitchen. Pretty funny stuff. Anyway. Yeah, so I watched Freak Nick, and Atlanta is a chocolate city, as Parliament Funkadelic would say. And that's the only reason I can see them. I don't understand, but to appease the culture, what's going on down there? It was just a fucking insane pick by the Falcons. They do a lot of dumb things. This was pretty dumb, and it opened up the window for more dumbness. So then Sean Payton for Denver is like, well, if they're going to be dumb, I could be dumb, right? So they did. They went and picked Bo Nix, number 12, and that was the 6th quarterback taken in the top 12 picks. Sean Payton's like, Sean Payton gave me to hold my beer. It let him off the hook is what it did. For them to take Michael Penix, number 8, that let Sean Payton off the hook. So I was like, fuck, no one's even going to question if I take Bo Nix at 12, which is also a dumb pick. So we did. ML says, going to Reno this weekend. ML, for some Reno bombs. All right, I'll give you some bombs, buddy. I'll give you some bombs for the weekend in Reno's. Heads up there. What a good thing. But first, we got some draft day bombs, of course. So the draft last night, what else did the Twitter get? The one was with the one tackle. A lot of it's all the family. It's all the family. You got there wasn't many dogs. I think the over-under was 2.5 dogs shown. They didn't really show as much. And cats was 1.5. Now the big thing is the family and then the girlfriend. You know, it works better when it's the black family and the white girlfriend. That's always fun. Because she thinks she's part of the family, and then she finds out she is not. No, you are not. And that one tackle, and the mom, she was just trying to go over and hug, and the mom was like blocking her. Get the fuck away from me, you goddamn snowflake bitch. You're going to come in here now with your goddamn white cooch and fucking take my son away? No. You're not getting these millions. Mama needs a new house. Good for them. Good for all of them. So a lot of receivers at the end. A receiver prop hit over 6.5, thanks to the last three picks. People were making fun of Buffalo for trading with Kansas City, and then Kansas City took Xavier Worthy, the guy who broke the 40 record. How could you let Kansas City get that? I love that. I mean, because it's value for the trade. You can't look at trades like giving another team that. This isn't the fucking 70s and shit like that. You get the best value you can. Plus, the Bills today, and that's when we're going to get into some draft day two bombs. Let's get right into them. Who's going to get traded first? Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk? Apparently, they're both going to be traded by the Niners. Ayuk demanded one, and the latest rumor is Deebo Samuel. He's at plus money, and the Bills will probably get one of them to replace Stephon Diggs. So that's why you trade that pick. Get some capital value. As a matter of fact, that's my first bomb. I want to say Deebo Samuel gets traded before Brandon Ayuk. Bomb it. Here we go for some day two bombs. Let's keep with the race relations, which I've been hunkering on. It's hard not to get into it because, one, Black Twitter's hilarious. And you see the families. And it was amazing. There wasn't too many mix. I mean, it was the players. Any of your Bo Nix. He must be in Alabama. And everyone had the polo shirts and the fucking tucked in, you know. Argyles. The whites were white and the blacks were black. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, day two bomb. Speaking of which, here comes a black versus white pick. Seems like they want us to do this. This is all from BetOnline. Who is going to be drafted first? Cooper DeJean, the white cornerback from Iowa. Or the other cornerback from Alabama, Kool-Aid McCarrots. What's his name? Last name? Let me fucking... Something. McKinstry. I'm sorry, McCarrots. McKinstry. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Who originally was the first... The better D-back from Alabama, but then the other guy went ahead of him. But Kool-Aid has slipped down the cracks of the board. And Cooper DeJean was supposed to be a first-round pick. They're both supposed to be first-round picks. They both slipped out. This is why this is a good bet. First of all, what a great matchup. Cooper versus Kool-Aid. Cooper, like I said, white angle sports release. This is the classic. There's never such thing as a white cornerback because coaches – they just automatically convert them to safeties. If you're a white athlete, yeah, we don't allow that. Running back, you're playing fullback. Safety, cornerback, you're going to safety. That's why you can be multifaceted. You're a switchblade. You're versatile or whatever. Yeah, you're versatile. No, coaches just don't trust you to play cornerback because they don't know. Jason Sehorn, I always was famously the white cornerback, Jason Sehorn, for the Giants. He had to wear the visor and the full sleeves. People didn't even know he was white. Michael Irvin said that. Michael Irvin said, I had no idea he was white till like the fourth year I played against him. And I played against him twice a season, meds up, until after the game when he took off his helmet and shit. And we shook hands like, oh, good God, you're white. You're good. anyway. Nowadays you need to expose your whiteness because that's where the white angle sports release comes in. It works on offense. I don't know if it really works well on defense. He is a great kick returner in the Tim Dwight style from Iowa. People take white angles on him on that one. White angle is where you can't believe a white guy is that fast, so you take a bad angle, and next thing you know, he makes you look foolish, and he goes behind there for a touchdown. That's how the white angle, the WAS release. If you're familiar with the right angle sports releases, I give out the white angle sports release for my ladders. And Cooper DeJean going against Kool-Aid McKinstry, which, I mean, hilarious. What a great name. That's the greatest name there is, Kool-Aid McKinstry. It doesn't sound real. That sounds like he's an opponent, like in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. It sounds like those over the top, like in boxing or wrestling games, you know, Kool-Aid, and he's just a stereotypical fucking, you know, he's got a pick in his afro. Like, okay, come on, what racist design this one up? But they're fun. So Cooper DeJean is -180. Kool-Aid is +150. Extra sugar in this one. This is a tough one. I'm gonna side with Kool-Aid, I think, because I trust in the old school thinking of GM racism, where they just don't believe a white cornerback should be taken over a guy named Kool-Aid. You know, that's why he slipped out of the first round and just moved it, even though they're both great players. And I think Cooper DeJean, he makes big plays. He's great for anyone from that Iowa offense. But and Kool-Aid has been slipping. I mean, a couple months ago, he was like a top 15 pick. And Cooper Jean was on his way up. So we're going to buy the dip on this at plus money. I don't like to lay too much juice in these day two bombs. So we're going to do Kool-Aid McKinstry to break through that wall. Those ads were everywhere, those Kool-Aid ads. Back in the day. How come they stopped? It's weird why they stopped doing that. Hawaiian Punch and Kool-Aid. I mean, maybe it's because I'm not a kid anymore. They advertise for kids' shows because it was just pure sugar juice. But those ads seemed everywhere. The Hawaiian Punch guy, who has a visor. I don't even know if that's his real hair, the Hawaiian Punch guy. He's got a weird setup. But the Kool-Aid guy, you know, the big pitcher that would bust through the wall, you know, hey, do a Fat Albert thing. There's a lot of busting through walls and big characters back then. Anyway, we're taking Kool-Aid McKinstry +150. Drafted in front of the whites. This is not my joke. Someone tweeted out about a Hawaiian Punch. A Hawaiian Punch was the only drink you'd put in a refrigerator and it would get warmer somehow. Remember, you get in the can, and in the can over, you put a couple triangle slices, and you pour it out like it's a fucking, like it's tomato sauce or something. Oh, man, what did it give us, kids? Jesus, God. That's why I had two root canals last week. It was fucking just pure sugar cane generations in my mouth. Anyway. All right, let's move on. So we got Kool-Aid +150. Here's a fun one. Next receiver to be drafted between three ways. It's a three ball almost in golf. Adonai Mitchell -175. Ladd McConkey +150. And Keon Coleman +350. Now, Adonai Mitchell is probably the best receiver. He was on Georgia. Then he went to Texas. He played in a lot of playoff games. Scored touchdowns off. He's a big-time receiver. But he's always hurt. There's always something going on with him. McConkey, I can see GMs reaching out for. First of all, he's a son of Phil McConkey. Lot white receiver, but it seems high to be drafting him too from Georgia. Keon Coleman for Florida State. There's your wild card. Here's a guy also a month ago that was ranked way ahead of these guys. At +350, we're going to go with Keon Coleman. Just take a stab at it. Adonai Mitchell got to lay heavy juice at -175. I'm not interested in that. McConkey does interest me at +150. I can see the Giants taking him just like how you got OPs. Like your Atlanta, you got to do one for the culture, drafting Michael Penix, if you know what I mean. There's also that reverse culture, you know, of your Clevelands and your, I can see Cleveland's taking McConkeys, you know. You got your anytime you see a pretty, like Philly, in Philly growing up, you could tell that some guys were racist just by their jerseys. Like if they had a Chris Zordich jersey or a Kevin Turner jersey, you know, just like, an unnecessarily white jersey. The only reason why they're sold is because they're white. This is where your Ladd McConkey would go. So I can see him being a stab. But I'm going to go with heads. At +350, let's do Keon Coleman. I can see someone reaching. He is, I think, the better receiver out of all three of them. So I think you're getting some value there. So hold your ears, C-Generates. Here comes a Bombenheimer. Keon Coleman +350. Two more day two bombs for you as you watch the draft. Something to do. I like day two, by the way, better than day one. Day one's the whole pageantry and the show and the quotes and the families and the And, you know, day two's got more just like hanging around. The draft day party was the night before. No, they didn't get picked. Not all the families there. The friends are definitely gone. Food's picked over. A lot of slock. And, you know, the agents kind of, ooh, did I pick the wrong guy here, you know? Day two draft parties are a lot sadder than the day one draft parties. And it goes a little quicker, you know? It's the way it should be. We're going to focus in on Blake Corum. This is pretty simple. The running back from Michigan. His over-under is 83.5. Draft position slot, higher or lower. Now, when we go lower, that means 83, literally lower the number, higher than that. You have to determine. 83.5 is right after the Rams. So the Rams actually could use a running back. But we're going to go with lower. It's juiced to -130, mainly because we think it's as simple as Jim Harbaugh taking Corum at 69. Jim Harbaugh was his coach in Michigan. He loves his Michigan guys, although he made a great pick with that offensive tackle. He's going to do offensive lineman. They're going to need a running back. They lost Austin Eckler. Blake Corum seems like the logical pick with Jim Harbaugh here. So -130, not that much of a juice. I'm willing to lay that. Just in case he slips by the Chargers, there's a couple other teams in there before 83 that would take him. Blake Corum, I mean, he's nothing flashy. He's certainly not going to be the first running back taken, which is also a bet you can make. But he will be in the top threes. And I think, I mean, Harbaugh, and are Harbaugh's glasses getting bigger? By the way, his eyeballs are getting enormous with these Coke bottle glasses. He keeps doing it. I think he's doing it just to get those peers as crazy as possible. There's no way his vision is that bad. He just loves that looking up like the fucking like Torrent reporter. His eyeballs are just gorging out of his skull. So we're going to go with Blake Corum with crazy khakis, Jim Harbaugh. Now, how about the other thing when he got that tattoo? You know, he said if Michigan goes 15-0, wins the national championship, we'll get a tattoo, which they did, and he got the tattoo, which is okay, cool. And they asked him, hey, did it hurt, Jim? He goes, I'm impervious to pain. I'm impervious to pain, Jim Harbaugh. Okay, Jim Harbaugh. What are you, fucking Dalton from Roadhouse? The good one. With Gyllenhaal, not that Patrick Swayze shit. Just kidding. The Swayze one is the good one. We all know that. Although, you know what? I watched the Gyllenhaal Roadhouse. It's not that bad. What did you want it to be? I mean, honestly. They act like they're ruining this amazing first one. Like, the first one's good, but it's campy. Swayze's great. O'Neill, fucking, you know, it's all great. Kmart is in town because of me. Walmart, I brought 7-Eleven to this town. It's great, but it's campy. It's not like they're fucking, they redid The Godfather, for fuck's sakes. Anyway, the Gyllenhaal kid, you know, Conor McGregor of Roadhouse, it is what it is. It's appeasing on the eyes. I'll tell you that. It's down the keys. I like that part. And where were we? Oh, yeah. Blake Corum, under 83.5. I like this one. Okay. Another one is Jonte Sanders, next tight end. We're just going to give that out real quick, +180. Big tight end. Maybe he's from Texas. Is that right? Something like that. Let me look that up real quick before I start giving out. Jatavion Sanders. I'm sorry. Jatavion Sanders. Not Jatai. Well, some people call him Jatai. I call him Jatai. Accept the cookies as I look something up. Yeah, he went to Texas. He's from Texas too. 6'4", 250. Will he be the second tight end? I think so. At +180, so you got some good juice with that one. We'll bomb that. I won't even do the Bombenheimer noise because I'm not too confident with it. But because I had to look up that name, boy. Accept all cookies. They just threw that. That's just something that came at us, huh? We don't even think twice about that anymore. Do you want to? You give this website looking up a tight end out of Texas. You give it full permission of all of your information. Sure, whatever. If it'll get this thing off my screen, yes. Take all of my information and run with it. Do what you want. draftguru.com, shady website. I don't care. What are you going to do with my information? Give me more ads that I want to see? Fine. Perfect. Anyway. Thank you for watching, by the way. Live on YouTube, anyone who is here. I apologize again for not being able to get that draft day one. But we're back here. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe on the YouTube page here of the Bottom Line Bombs. Subscribe to my Bottom Line Bombs podcast page. Please, on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you listen to podcasts, subscribe to the Bottom Line Bombs with CJ Sullivan. I'm year-round, twice live, usually on Mondays and Thursdays. But I do bombs for all sports. So it's not just the NFL. If you're listening right now on the NFL podcast, I'm all over the place. You'll get a man in a box segment. You'll get some bombs for the weekend. I also host the UFL, co-host the UFL show with Pix Dundee and J-Mark from Old Fashioned Football. We just did an episode this morning, which was a little late too as well because of the Canadian time zone. Blame anything but me. Also, co-host a college football experience and basketball college experience with Dundee twice a week. We do the bombs down under and weekend bombs. So make sure you subscribe to all those shows. And, of course, you follow me on Instagram here, CJ Sullivan Was Taken, or on X at CJ Sullivan _. You can follow along. Maybe catch the Man in the Box live. I got a Man in the Box shirt on right now. Live here in Winnipeg. All right, let's get in. Now that I gave out some day two draft day bombs, let's see what we got for the weekend here. NBA tonight, we have, let's see, Bucks Pacers. I don't know, Pacers are 6.5. What does that mean? Middleton got hurt? Who knows? Mavericks, Clippers are 4. Kind of like the Clippers in that one a little bit. I think if you want to do the zigzag theory, which has been hitting, Clippers would be the play. Kawhi Leonard got a game under his belt. He's going to be fully healthy. But the one I like the most, which one is the public is all over, is Phoenix Suns -4.5 over the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves have embarrassed Phoenix twice in a row. Phoenix acts like they don't care. And they've done this before. They're not good on the road. They're a front runner. Phoenix is a front runner team. So you always love 0-2 teams coming back home. They're more talented than Minnesota. They don't play together well. But between Durant, Booker, Beal, there was a point recently at the end of the year where they were playing. They looked like the best team in the league. They're not that anymore. But tonight, they'll rally. Friday night at home in Phoenix in the desert. Bomb that -4.5 to take care of Minnesota. We give it a few hockey bombs, too. Let's take a look at the hockey real quick, and then I'll get to tomorrow's basketball. Game 4. Well, yeah, let me see if there's just for tonight, just to get it real quick. What's tonight? A lot of good games tonight. Rangers, Capitals, Canucks, Predators, Winnipeg, Colorado. Like I said, Winnipeg is on the road. So that means they will not be watching the show. They'll be watching the Jets. No, that's not true. They'll be at the show, but at least they won't be here. And Oilers, Kings, 6.5. But six and Winnipeg, Colorado's at 6.5 the total. Like we said, CJ, we're on the over both those games, and they're flying over. And I'm going to keep playing it until it misses. So we'll go over. Let's go over 6.5 Winnipeg, Colorado. Just do that. I like the Predators, too, as well. But we'll get into it. Let's give out some Saturday bombs because these are Fridays. Gentlemen, sweep. How about Tampa Bay Lightning? They're down 3-0 to Florida Panthers. Let's give them +110 to not get swept. The heart of a champion. Cooper, the coach, goes, we want people who haven't quit to show up. He's doing one of that rally the troop kind of things. And Tampa Bay, they're not going to try to win the series. They've given up on that. No problem. But they will try not to get swept at home. So we're going to take Tampa Bay tomorrow, Saturday. See, generous. Here you go. One of my favorite bombs to avoid the sweep. Versus Florida. Bomb. I will say I was on Tampa the last couple games, and Bobrovsky's been killed. Tampa Bay's playing with them, But the goaltending out of Florida has just been amazing. Another one here. You gotta take these Toronto Maple Leafs. They got called out. Their crowd hockey announcers are dying. Old hockey announcers are dying in their 90s. Other ones are calling the Toronto crowd a fucking fakes, and if they're not showing up, being loud enough. They are minus 115 to even the series versus Boston. Boston is a freight train, but this series will just be more fun if it's 2-2. So we're going to go Toronto to tie it up, minus 115. So as far as other sports goes, that's Phoenix minus 4.5 tonight versus Minnesota. Tomorrow, Tampa Bay plus 110, Toronto minus 115. And also one more basketball bomb, which we got to talk about. Lakers Nuggets. We gotta talk about this game. Lakers Nuggets beat the Lakers for the 11th time in a row last night. Lakers they're up 8-0. They won the first quarter. Good first quarter play if you're into that. And then there's like done. And this team is the opposite of the Lightning. They cannot wait for the season to be over with. You could tell they hate Darvin Ham. There was a thing online where Darvin Ham was just like writing letters on the blackboard, like during a timeout. D'Angelo Russell's not even in. Half these Lakers aren't even in a huddle during these timeouts. This is the definition of the 1-2-3 Cancun team. They know they can't beat the Nuggets. Not to say I told you so, degenerates, but I said. Yes, I know, and everyone's like, you got to play to win the games, and you beat the Pelicans, and you don't want to make any smoke. You don't know what's going to happen in a one-game situation. No, you don't, but you do know what's going to happen if you play the Nuggets. You're going to get swept, and now they're going to get swept. The line, yeah, there's value on the line now because the Lakers were minus one last night. Now they're getting three, but who cares? The Nuggets are winning this game. There's just no doubt about it. Even though I have a Nuggets in five, prop bet that I gave out for the series bets, which is still very much alive if they do the gentleman's sweep, which is I did what I thought. But I thought the Lakers were going to get last night's game, not the game four. I mean, this is a team that quit, and you can tell. And I'm not saying they shouldn't quit. They should quit. It's over. You can't do a thing about it. The Nuggets are going to beat you. That's what they've done 11 straight times. And now it's going to happen 12 straight times. Nuggets minus three. I'm tuning into this one just because I love a team that quit. I love a team trying to get a coach fired, all the whole thing. Although I don't think Darvin Ham can get fired. It's amazing the quotes that are coming out of that. Michael Malone's like, yeah, we have all these adjustments we haven't had to use yet. I'm kind of shocked. We worked on all these adjustments. It's actually kind of annoying. We've run all kinds of schemes and sets that were adjustments on their adjustments, but they just haven't done anything. So the Lakers, that is. And so here we are, you know. I guess we'll just keep these plays in the pocket for another round, or if we ever play them again, I don't know. And then Darvin Ham's like, I got no clue. Anthony Davis says, we don't even know what we're doing, but I disagree to agree. Do we agree to disagree? Tell you what I agree on. Nuggets bombing the Lakers and sweeping them out. I won't be upset if the Lakers win, but this is kind of a way to hedge my Nuggets in five. Because if the Lakers win this game, there's no way in hell they're winning in Denver. When LeBron James is saying, hey, at the end of the day, it's just basketball, that's not good. And I'll tell you who doesn't like that. Fans, people who are not making $20 million a year to play basketball. They don't like that. Hey, come on, guys. It's just basketball, right? Oh, now it's just basketball? But basketball is life. Everything's about you until you're getting fucking crushed by Denver. Come on. It's just a sport. No big deal. Just a game. It's a children's game that I make $1 billion from. Oh, boy. Anyway, Denver, my. Shub. Welcome to the box. You're part of the C-Generates. Come on in. I did wrap up the show. That was a lot of the main content of the show. I gave out four draft day two bombs and some game three and game four bombs for tomorrow and tonight. Three Saturday, one tonight. Anyway, Shub is pitching me pitching me a his services live during a show. It's a great way to get work anyway. Now let's go to the box. Anyway, but you're right. You could always use an improvement on my designs, on any designs. Everyone knows how to do things, it seems like, here in the box. I say this because I wanted to talk about Caitlin Clark real quick, which is kind of funny. She got like a $28 million deal from Nike or something. She's going to have her own shoe design by her. And I do like how to, people are, and of course, Twitter got upset. Twitter gets upset at fucking everything. And they do talk about Caitlin Clark. Like, oh, it's good for Caitlin, but how come Zazie Wilson doesn't have a shoe? This is racist. I just like how Twitter easily knows how to run companies. This is what I would do. You put give her a shoe. Imagine having two-time defensive player of the year and all her other stats and not having her own shoe. I didn't even know they fucking, whatever, her own shoe. First of all, no one gets excited for two-time defensive player of the year. Just because you're the best doesn't mean you're a fucking goddamn star. Yeah, but give her own shoe. Okay, sure. You know what? Fuck it. We'll spend money on our own shoe. Your own shoe. I just love when they come in and say, and how to run companies. Yeah, we're okay. Now, can you imagine Nike? Oh, yeah, we're okay. You know what? Nike, before, sir, I did see a couple few ideas on X today. They brought up some good points. They put up a meme of three white lady basketball players and say, what do you see in common? And say, let's just give it to Ozzie Wilson instead. First of all, there are three different companies. It's not like Nike has a whole brand of WNBA players. It's like the first one they've ever done. I don't know if it's the first one they've ever done. Sabrina Anushka on... Anushka. I just make up fucking names when I don't want to finish it out. She Adidas or New Balance? Who signed with New Balance the other day? That was hilarious. Is it Marvin Harrison Jr.? Signed with New Balance? Let me see. Let me accept some cookies with that one. Pringle Crocs. Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr. signed with New Balance. Good for you, Marvin Harrison Jr. What this old man. I mean, yeah, rock. Let's rock the New Balance. Well, that's cultural appropriation, if anything. Us old white guys walk around the New Balance all the time. And now you're coming for our culture? My culture's not your costume, Harrison. One time after the election, I was, that's made in the USA, but I guess New Balance voted for Trump. I don't fucking know, but I got yelled at one time. I'm like, yeah, New Balance are very comfortable shoes. There's a reason why when you get to a certain age, I don't give a shit about design. I need something to walk in. Somebody yelled at me on the streets. Your shoes support Nazis. What? Yeah, your shoes support Nazis. Like, people were burning New Balances. Remember that? People were burning New Balances for like a fucking couple of weeks. People were out of their minds during the pandemic and fucking protesting. People were putting, which are made in the USA, by the way, New Balance shoes, burning them because their CEO voted for Trump or something. First of all, not to spoil it for you, a lot of CEOs are voting for Trump. There's no such thing as a good billionaire. They're all in the same group. And you know why? Because they get protected by them. There's a reason why they do it. Anyway. They're burning fucking New Balances. Made in the USA. Burning Nikes. At least send them. Yeah, at least send them over. Don't waste it. At least send them over to the kids who are making Nikes. They could probably use shoes on their feet. If you want to think ahead a little bit. Instead of burning your New Balance, mail them over to the kids who are making Nikes with no shoes on their feet. The ones you support. Anyway, I got yelled on the street. They support Nazis. No, they don't. You know what? They support arches. They support my arches very well. Don't judge someone until you walk a mile in their shoes. Walk a mile in my shoes, sir, and you'll find them very comfortable. Trust me. You're very, very comfortable. You can. I got plantar fasciitis, all right? Anyway, I just love the whole thing. And I'm not saying Najee Wilson doesn't deserve her own shoe. Fine, deserve her own shoe. But I don't understand. I don't know the economics of what that costs for Nike. I don't run that billion-dollar corporation. Successful corporation, by the way, Nike, if you haven't noticed. And it's all through marketing. Not really going bad press. But it's not like fucking Twitter pressure is real anyway. It's not. That was proven with snakes on a plane, Twitter. You fucked everything up with snakes on a plane. You never get a say again. You created that movie. We thought there was a buzz because the one still shot of Sam Jackson. We want snakes on a plane. We want snakes on a plane. And then they made the movie based on Twitter ranting about it. And then nobody showed up. Like, oh, well, we don't leave the house. We didn't. We just wanted you to make it. Yeah, we weren't going to support you. ML, women says women's bags would sell more than shoes. That's absolutely 100% correct. Bags do sell more. Get your bag with a women's bag. How about that? Najee Wilson should get her bag with a women's bag. That would be pretty sexist if Nike did her own WNBA-owned purses and bags. That would be pretty hilarious, though. If they had any sense of humor, if that billion-dollar corporation had any sense of humor, that's exactly what they would do, ML. Make WNBA bag designer bags. Oh, man. All right. I should wrap things up here in a second. But I did promise a conclusion to the Ghost Doctor, even though I don't have. I don't have the music on me. Should I wait till I have the fucking X-Files music to play? Maybe I will wait to it. Maybe. You know what? I am. I'm sorry. I apologize. This is how you do a teaser. Now I'm getting Canadian healthcare in the system. I am here in Canada, so you know what? I'm just going to wrap it up. But Kim Mulkey, what do you think about a designer bag for WNBA? You think that would that would sell well?
It ain't going to work, buddy.
That's a shame. Kim Mulkey does not agree. But nothing. No one can deny. I think the WNBA is starting this weekend. There is a quick turnaround. They're like college, draft, next day. It's all emotional shopping. All right, now get out there. We need the ratings right now.
On us, Selection Sunday is only a few days away, and we even have teams that have won their conference tournaments and have automatic bids. But if I'm being honest, I'm more excited for the women's tournament. I'm ready for Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, and the giant Brazilian woman from South Carolina that knocks people over. Forget the guys. Where are the women? I'm ready. I'm JR.
Giant Brazilian woman who knocks people over. That was a real report. That's the thing. Guys just don't know how to. That's the thing that's happening with Caitlin Clark. It's really putting a light on how men just don't know how to cover this. That it's brand new to them. What do we do? Yeah, the guy in Indianapolis doing the heart thing to Caitlin. Say, just do that to me. We're good. And creeping people out, you know. I blame the women. Why not? Blame the women.
It ain't going to work, buddy.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, because with the women, when they cover it, the women, like I said before, there's the difference between women and men in sports is their attitude. Women are more positive people. Men are not. We just don't know how to. Everything's negative with us. We hate everything. Women are the equivalent, like when athletes are like, hey, how come you don't cover that? How come we don't cover the charity work we do? You're only doing it when we do a DUI and run into a family of four and do domestic violence. You're quick to report that story, but how come you're not quick to report the story when I donate to a charity? Because like the shoes, you don't know how to run a company. You don't know how to run a fucking newspaper. You're just doing it for the clicks, right? Because it's not news. We're not just going to say, look how great everyone is. But that's how the women want to cover Caitlin Clark and WME, just how everything's just amazing. So, in that sense, that's what the men just don't understand. It's not that they don't know how to cover women in general, women's sports with Caitlin Clark. They just don't know how to cover something with an overly positive spin on everything. They need to take something down, so they don't get it. So like, all right, how do we do the positive? We do the heart thing. We do do I come on to her? That's how I usually talk to women that I like. I just come on to them and make them feel attractive, right?
It ain't gonna work, buddy. It ain't gonna work, buddy.
Okay. I'm just saying. I don't know. This is all new to us. This is all new to us where people support and like each other. That's not what sports is about. That's what you're infringing upon. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show, like I said. Thank you, everyone who came here and watched it live. ML Shub, even, who wants to pitch his markets to you. I'll talk to you later if you want to. Video editor. Love it. Love everyone who came in here, talked to live. Make sure you hit the like and subscribe. I'll be back on Monday when I get out of Canada. Hopefully, if customs lets me out of here. I'm here in Winnipeg. I'll have to come up with a different story to get the fuck out of here. No, because I'm not paying taxes on those drink tickets that I get paid. Anyway, thank you, everyone who signed up. Make sure you subscribe. Follow all the other shows on SGPN. The part of the C Block, the UFL College, the main show. I'm sure they'll continue on with draft day too. Good luck. As I keep saying things, we're trying to get this thing to stop. I'm looking for the theme music thing. I just found it. It is somewhere around here, and here I go. Goodbye.